Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin, and every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today we bring you our annual conversation on emerging threats. Here's Steve.
So those of you that normally join me on these programs each year will know that I tend to look forwards into the sorts of threats, the sorts of challenges that we can generally expect in the coming year, and then offer up some solutions, ways in which we can deal with it so that it makes everybody's life a little bit easier, hopefully. So what is it that's happening in 2023? Well, let's take a look back first at last year, this year, 2022. What were the sorts of things that we saw and what will happen related to that going forward? Well, 2022 was the year that we really sort of emerged from the pandemic. We'd seen a number of changes in the way that businesses had moved to being very much more digital. We'd seen home working come in that had presented all sorts of security challenges because what little control we'd had over what was going on in the office environment really disappeared once we put people out into their home offices. We've also seen emerging of more physical and digital. So certainly within the ISF membership, we've noticed some of our chief information security officers becoming chief security officers because data is fueling some of those physical elements of business now. And those are the sorts of things certainly that I'm expecting to see continue into 2023. We're also, of course, going to see much more in terms of artificial intelligence, whether that be in the business environment or hopefully as well in the security space, because I think that really presents some opportunities for us to save on resources, to be a little bit more effective. But we'll have to wait and see. That's the good news. The bad news is that, of course, cyber criminals will continue to exploit opportunities. We will continue to see cyber being used in warfare. We've seen that particularly in the way that some of the activities have been happening in mainland Europe through the Ukraine and so on, but not just there. And again, for those of you who listen to some of my podcasts and webcasts regularly, you know I'm not a huge fan of regulation, but I do think that we're going to see very much more complex regulation evolving over the course of next year as well, which of course makes life a lot more tricky if you're looking to operate across geography. So the overall landscape, what's it going to look like? Well, I think more of what we saw in 2022 in terms of some of the working environments, more regulation, more cyber criminal activity. It all means that cybersecurity is going to become riskier, it's going to become costlier, and it's certainly going to become much more complicated for the CISOs and for businesses in general. But now let's look at some of the major issues that I see out there that we really need to, I think, prepare for in 2023. The first one will be no surprise to anybody, really. It's cyber attacks. In 2021, we saw some very big names that were attacked. So this was really just an insight into the fact that it doesn't matter how big you are or indeed how small you are. If you've got something of value, then cyber criminals will target you. Going through 2022, what did we see? We also saw healthcare being targeted. I think, unfortunately, that's an area we're going to see again coming under attack in 2023. Why? Mainly because it's something of a soft target. You know, if you're going to spend a significant amount of money in that particular space, you probably aren't going to be prioritizing security over health services. We're also going to see not just ransomware, but we're going to see data being stolen. Marriott has appeared now in a number of different sessions that I've done over the past quite a few years, actually. But we did see just this year a third attack, a third exfiltration of significant amounts of data from Marriott. And I think that trend of stealing data, so a network intrusion for the theft of it, maybe that you don't use straight away, maybe you store up and then sell on the dark web at some point in the future, is probably something that we're going to see very much more of. So the value of data obviously is going to be quite significant as we continue to produce it at a fairly exponential rate. But it's not just private sector. We saw public sectors as well in 2022 come under attack. I think this really does shine a light on the fact that it doesn't actually matter whether you're in the public or the private sector. If you have information, or if you are providing a level of service, or if a nation state is looking to attack your environment, then certainly it's an area that we'll see increasing. And it won't just be ransomware. The example here, of course, is the Conti ransomware attack that was in Costa Rica, but it isn't going to be confined to ransomware, unfortunately. And then we've also seen drone-based intrusion. Now, those of you who are ISF members, and I know there are a number of you listening into this, will know that we've been talking about drones through our Threat Horizon program for quite some while. In fact, those of you that also participate in our cyber simulation exercises will know that we use a drone environment there as an example of some of the things that can go wrong during an attack. And we're seeing more of that, using them as listening devices in particular. So all of that is going to become a feature, I think, of 2023. The one thing that is slightly different is that I do think we're going to move as well from crime as a service, ransomware as a service, into more seeing the rise of the cyber mercenary. So people for hire who will actually help you carry out some of these attacks. Now, of course, we saw some of that in terms of nation state sponsored through third parties so that they could deny that they'd actually been behind the attacks. But I think the cyber mercenary is probably a little bit new. So what can we do? Well, other than patching, other than policies, other than processes, other than making sure that our people are fully trained and aware, what smart organizations are doing is really playing out their incident response to these kinds of incidents. And there's a little quote down there in the bottom of the slide that you can see, taken from, not from the ISF, but from Ponemon, who are looking at the cost of a data breach. And you can see there's quite a significant amount of money to be saved from those organizations that had gone through an incident response program, so had a plan that was ready to go when an attack took place versus those that perhaps hadn't done so. So cyber attacks, certainly on the agenda in 2022, going to continue in 2023. The second thing that I think we're going to see is a little shift in supply chain. Now, again, from an ISF standpoint, we've been talking about supply chain security for quite a number of years. And I think the supply chain has probably been something that businesses have viewed as being on the business side of the house as opposed to on the security. So we've started to see more in 2022, a blending of that. I think the pandemic really shone a light on it because some of the suppliers that people were using, of course, were simply no longer there. They'd gone out of business. But there's an interesting trend I think we're going to see in 2023 emerging, which is that as more businesses move their infrastructure to third parties, I'm thinking in particular of things like cloud, for instance, or multi-cloud environments, combination of multi-cloud with perhaps 5G, depending on the different locations that you're operating in. As organizations move down that road, there will be a tendency or a temptation perhaps to opt for a one-size-fits-all. And that strategy, that approach, is really going to impact then the flexibility that organizations have, not just to innovate, but to respond to any attacks that might take place. So the issue for me around supply chain in 2023 is really having very much of an eyes-open approach to the way in which we are moving our infrastructure to third parties. Yes, it's all about conducting the right level of diligence in terms of the way that the third party is securing our data. But very much more importantly, I think, it's about leaving our options open so that if we do want to switch providers, if we do want to change the way in which we are perhaps using the third party infrastructure, we're able to do that. So supply chain is the second one. The third one that really does bother me, actually, is data. So this is the move that we've seen from not just being about confidentiality and availability of data, but the integrity of the data. If you think about the way that businesses are going to be using data very much more over 2023 and indeed beyond, we're going to start to see artificial intelligence coming into its own. We're going to start to see things like predictive analytics coming into their own. Data takes on a new value in that environment because businesses are actually dependent upon the integrity of that data to make decisions. And adversaries, cyber criminals, know that. So I think we're going to start to see very much more concern from the security side in how do we preserve integrity of the information that we're acting upon. Businesses will also, I think, really have to ask questions before they act on that as to whether or not they have a high degree of confidence in the integrity of that data. And one of the questions that immediately springs to mind is, well, what can we do about that? How do we, given that we're producing data so exponentially, given we're producing it in a whole range of different environments, from a home environment, on the go, in the office, how can we ensure the integrity of it? And I think it's about stepping back and actually realizing that not all data that we have across the business needs to be protected 100% of the time. There will probably be certain elements of data, of information, that you would refer to as the crown jewels. So we have to start very much more focusing on the information that is absolutely essential for decision making, for running our businesses, and make sure that we're doing as much as we possibly can to protect that. And that's the starting point. So when we talk about integrity of data, it isn't about trying to boil the ocean. You will never achieve that. You have to start small, you have to be very specific, and the security role is to work really collaboratively with the business in terms of identifying those elements of data, where they are being shared, how secure they are at all stages of the data lifecycle. And if we can do that, then I think some of the problem around integrity will start to go away. But we can't be complacent in it, and that's really why this is one of the biggest challenges I think we're going to face in 2023. And then the last particular threat or challenge is what I've called the never normal. This is about change. This is about the fact that security organizations really, I think, coming out of 2022, going into 2023, were really hoping that they'd be able to draw breath, that they'd be able to sort of recover a little bit from what had been going on through the pandemic and having to be responsive to the way in which business change needed to take place in a very, very fast moving way. And sadly, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to see a number of different things that are continuing to pile up on the CISO's work list, and indeed the list, therefore, of the security department in general. Not least will be the shifting regulatory landscape. We're starting to see very much more regulation moving from being holistic, if I could put it that way, down into being very country specific. Keeping abreast of all of that really does mean that one of the CISO's best friends next year is going to be the legal department. We're starting to see changes as well around ethical considerations. So ethical collection, ethical storage, ethical use of data. That's going to increase significantly in importance in 2023. And I think that for a number of organizations, that's going to be really challenging. Having to look at where the data is coming from, how you're using it, and then make a statement that people will be expecting you to make publicly around that. So again, a job not just for the Chief Information Security Officer and his or her team, but also for business leaders. And this constant state of change that we're going to see, transformation in all areas of business, really is going to require a very agile security strategy that probably doesn't look out more than about 3 to 6 months, to be quite honest. It is about how we can be flexible, how we can map entirely to the direction that the business is headed in, and how we can try to preserve all of the different pieces of the security pie that are good, that are in line with what the business needs, whilst also adding on top of that so that we are adapting to the way in which the markets are going to be taking us, I think, through what is probably going to be a fairly tough 2023, certainly from an economic and trade standpoint. So those are the four major challenges that I see in 2023. So now let's look at what we can do about that. Well, the first thing for me is really adapting our security strategies to being much more business-based. We have to be supportive of that overall organizational strategy. Now, many Chief Information Security Officers talk to me about the lack of resource that's available, whether that be funding, whether that be people. life becomes very much easier, I think, if we've got this alignment between a security strategy and a business strategy. Because boards, businesses have already decided on the direction that they want to take the business. And so if we can combine security into that, some of those problems tend to go away. But much more importantly, we have to put in place a strategy that not so much guarantees, but to a certain extent assures resilience. We have to move towards just-in-case planning. We have to adapt some of the ways in which we are putting together our strategies to include scenarios. And those are all going to become essential for a resilient business-based security strategy in 2023 and beyond. And if we're talking about resilience, if we're talking about strategy, then we have to be talking about the board, because boards own those components. So what is it that the CISO needs to be communicating through to the board in 2023? What does the board actually need to know? Well, the answer is that the board actually doesn't need to know very much. Boards really want assurance more than knowledge. And some may say the two are combined, but let's focus on that assurance piece. What is it that they need to feel comfortable about? Well, they want to understand that cybersecurity is actually being treated as a business risk rather than purely an IT technical problem. Because the days of it being an IT issue are long gone. Talking to a number of security professionals at our most recent annual congress in Manchester, one in particular was telling me that the biggest challenge or the biggest change that they had to go through in 2022 was moving out of IT and moving into the Chief Risk Officer's department. Because there are a number of different changes there. But in terms of the relevance of security, therefore, to the business, that's a really positive step, I would suggest. So the board needs assurance that cybersecurity is a business risk and being treated as such. Also wants to know that the organization is prepared for whatever comes next, the next unexpected crisis. So situational awareness suddenly takes on a different value because we have to really understand how dependent we are upon third parties and, come what may, ensure that commercial stability is in place. That means that, yes, of course, we have to focus on basic security measures. The board expects that. So indeed does everybody across the business. Supporting, yes, confidentiality, yes, availability, but also integrity. And there's also a need for assurance at the board level that the most up-to-date, the best, the most appropriate, I would say, risk management methods are being applied. Not just to specific products, but across the business at the most appropriate levels that are really determined to be valid, appropriate, and necessary. And that applies not just within the organization, but if you think about what I was saying about supply chains, it also means suppliers, and it also, of course, means customers. Fundamentally, what the board is looking for is assurance that the organization is actually resilient. So if we talk about resilience, what does that actually mean? Because quite a few people will very often say to me, well, I hear a lot about cyber resilience, Steve, but what's it look like? How do I become resilient? Well, at the ISF, we have a cyber resilience framework that our members have been using now for quite some while. But in essence, what cyber resilience means is that organizations are prepared to deal with impacts from cyber threats that can't be predicted and indeed may not be able to be prevented. So the first thing that you need there is a solid governance and partnering framework to monitor cyber activities. That has to include the way in which you collaborate with partners, whether those partners be your suppliers or whether they be your customers. And it also has to be in line with the risks and obligations of operating in cyberspace. So very high levels of partnering and collaboration are fundamental to a resilience framework. You also have to have this situational awareness. You need to understand what's going on across your overall corporate landscape, but also in the markets and the different environments. How do you achieve that? Well, if you're an ISF member, of course, then you'll be sharing that kind of information with colleagues at the various events that we run all through the year. If you're not an ISF member, then there are other ways in which you can do that, both public and private partnerships in that space. How you do it isn't so important as the fact that you do it. So you need to have a process for gathering and analyzing and sharing cyber intelligence. You also need to have some kind of resilience assessment. You need a process for assessing and adjusting that level of resilience, because it's going to change. Because threats will change, the way in which you respond to those threats will change, the maturity of your organization will change, the value of different assets will change. And so you have to have an ongoing resilience assessment process across the business. And then finally, the fourth leg here is response, of course. You really do need to have thought through how you're going to not just prevent or detect, but more importantly, perhaps respond to some of these incidents that I've been talking about, and also minimize the impact. And the two ways I think that you can do that best in 2023 are through scenario planning and incident rehearsal. And certainly if I look at the way in which ISF members are responding in this particular space, those are the two things that I'm seeing being very much more used and that we're working with our members on to try to put in place so that they can anticipate how to respond to impacts that they simply can't forecast. And that's the importance of the scenarios. So a cyber resilience framework is absolutely fundamental, I think, in 2023. So if we've talked about the landscape, we've talked about the different threats, we've talked about some of the ways in which we can look at strategy and frameworks, but what does good actually look like? Well, there needs to be a formal and a frequent place on the board agenda, I would suggest, for addressing cyber risk, because it is not static. It does move, and the board needs to be aware of that. That's the first thing. The second thing is we do need to have a pretty well-rehearsed cyber incident response plan that helps to minimize business interruption and losses. It's about understanding and improving on a continuous basis the organization's ability to, yes, respond to cyber attacks, but also to do some of the investigation work afterwards, some of the forensics, to make sure that we can learn from what has happened. The company's risk tolerance is hugely important. It needs to be determined and well understood and clearly defined. And actually, that's just the same as any other type of enterprise risk. There is no magic in that. It's hard work. And then the final piece is the linkage between business objectives and strategy and the activities that are required to protect the organization. So the security components. This is that linkage that I was talking about between business strategy and security strategy. It's about identifying the gaps. It's about identifying some of the vulnerabilities and the weaknesses and doing something very positive to address that. So let me leave you with just four key focus areas for 2023, and then I'll take some questions. What are the four things that you need to be looking at? Well, there are no surprises here. The first, and I've talked about it a lot, is resilience. That for me is the number one business priority. You have to identify and prioritize your assets, critical assets, as they change in value, as they evolve, and you have to continually improve your breach response capabilities. We have to be looking at a just-in-case environment. We have to be scenario planning. We have to be planning for the day that we hope never comes and really stress testing our response as an organization. The second is in that area of risk management, governance, and compliance. It's about having a very sound governance framework so that you can identify changes to regulations as they happen, but only those regulations that are really going to influence your company's risk and security efforts. So again, it's about having a filter, if you like, as to really understand what is important to your organization and when you need to make some of the changes that are necessary, given the way that your organization is evolving. You won't have time to do it all. So you have to be very, very selective about the areas that you do focus in. Supply chain. Well, I think we're going to see this one popping up from time to time now over the next few years. But in 2023, certainly we're seeing supply chain risk becoming pretty much all pervasive. And so the onus, I think, on every organization is really to communicate effectively, regularly with key suppliers. It's about reviewing the potential exposure to new threats. Cybercriminals know that one of the best ways into an organization is through its supply chain. Why? Because there are so many small to mid-sized organizations out there, and large ones, that perhaps will provide an easier access route, and we know that that is a well-trodden path. And then finally, it's about people. The world of work has changed. People do expect to work in a different way now. Policies and procedures need to reflect that. But it also, I think, is raising the expectation in terms of management of people. We have to pay special attention to things like cyber fatigue and mental health. We can no longer fall back on the fact that we will see people face to face. We have to adapt and introduce better ways of working with them remotely. Not just so that we can ensure their mental health and that they're doing their best work, but also so that we can monitor insider threats that I think are also potentially on the increase in 2023. Thanks very much.
We've put Steve's contact details in today's show notes, and we encourage you to reach out to him with any questions or comments about today's episode. We'll be taking a brief winter break, but we'll return with new episodes on January 10th. We hope that you enjoy a wonderful holiday season as well. We'll be back with a new episode in a week. In the meantime, as always, we ask that you take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening and give us a 5-star rating. If you have a little more time, you can even write a quick review. That helps other listeners who might enjoy our content find us. And we also want to make sure to introduce you to the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research is uniquely applied to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen, and of course, we'll put a link to that show in our show notes. If there's a topic or a question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak, senior producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Thanks for listening.